Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey, folks, let me ask you this. Does your doctor care about you? I'll tell you what. This fantastic doctor right here, he's an MD, and he's blessed my life, and he's got this incredible book. And I'll tell you why it's a great book. It's because it puts people first. So, Michael Sonic, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Carrie.
Well, listen, you and I connected years ago, and I was just chatting with you. I'm really proud of you because as your publisher, man, I see you blowing up and you're doing it right. You know, you're getting the reviews, you're creating value in the marketplace. Why do you think this book has resonated with so many people?
Well, I think there's a void, you know, and there's a hole when people go see their doctor or anybody. For that reason, I mean, you know, you're from a spiritual network, you know, you mentor a lot of people, you help a lot of people, and you know, there's that hole where people just want to feel that human connection. Wow. And what's happened in medicine is we become commoditized. So Everybody is looked at as a procedure, you know, and it started years ago. I mean, the old country doctor, you know, that comes to your house and makes a home visit, that just doesn't happen. I mean, rarely, but not often.
Yeah,
and that's gone by the wayside. And what's happened is back in the 60s and 70s, they started doing insurance and everybody became a procedure. So when you go in there, you're a DRG in the dental office, you're a procedure, you get a code for everything. And it's, what does the insurance cover? What can I do? How can I maximize my value? And it's turned into a business. Now, there's nothing wrong with running a business. As you know, we both run businesses.
Sure.
And you can be very, very soulful in the way you do that. But in medicine, you really just feel marginalized. And so, and we're not taught this in medical or dental school. We're not taught to be there, to be present, to connect, to show hospitality for people. So people feel sort of lost.
Yeah.
And I was just on a podcast recently with someone, you know, Heather Parrott, and she asked me, she has a psychological background, and she used to be a therapist. I don't know if you knew that. So she did. So she got really deep. She started asking some very deep questions. And one of them was, well, you spend more time with your patients. I go, yeah, I do. And she goes, well, don't you lose money by doing that? And how do you think about that financially if you spend more time? I said, well, it's just the opposite, actually. The more time I spend, the more I can relate, the lower the postoperative complications, the happier my patients are, the more they're going to say yes to treatment. And the whole stress level sort of drops. So
I've
become more effective. You know, like there's always two things I look at when I'm talking to anybody. Is this going to increase or decrease my stress? Or is it going to increase or decrease my effectiveness? I could actually sort of like do one of those little Punnett squares for that. You know, So I like to have no stress and increased effectiveness. And by relating to people, I mean, that happens. And I'm happier too. And my patients are happier. So it's a lot more fun, you know. Because you do want to have fun.
It's almost like you're playing the long game.
Yeah.
You know, you
do that too.
I do. Like there's times where I, you know, eat profit and I just know that, look, if I want long-term lifetime clients,
right,
I have to go above and beyond. I call it show up, filled up. And you and I connected because my book is not in the medical world, but your book and my book actually are congruent.
Right. And we talk about our past in our book too. We share parts of ourselves. Right?
Yes.
So I bought 100 copies of your book and I gave it to everybody in my study club. I think you
that's amazing.
And so I get, and that's actually become sort of our vernacular in our office. So sometimes we're like, oh, he showed up, filled up. And,
oh, yes. I love it. I love it. Well, but you're in, you know, talk to us about, you're also teaching future doctors.
Right.
So what are you doing? You're basically teaching them this concept at the beginning.
Well, I'm trying to. So as you know, I've been in practice 40 years. So I started teaching in 1984 at NYU. I walked into NYU my first year in practice. And I said, I'd like to start teaching. And I started, and I don't know why I did that. I know in background, but sure. I just committed to it. I liked it. And I felt every year I reassess it because I spend a day a week teaching, you know, at the university. And I'm thinking like, well, I could be busy being patients or I could take the day off.
Yeah.
Every year I reassess. And every year it's the same thing. I can't not teach. Oh, because if I don't teach, I don't learn. If I don't give back, I don't grow. People that
wow. work, don't grow.
You know, it's like, you know, planting the seeds, you know, like in Zorba the Greek. You remember there's one scene in Zorba the Greek where a young boy says to the old man he's planting. I think it was Anthony Quinn.
He played
the role. He's down on his hands and knees. He's digging the dirt. He goes, why are you planting that tree? You know, you're never going to see it grow. You're an old man.
Ah.
And, you know that metaphor. It's like, you know, you do things for the future because if no one planted the trees outside right here, they wouldn't be here today. So by planting those seeds, you really sort of pay it forward and you help the future generations. So about the teaching, I mean, I'm a periodontal surgeon, so I teach surgery, I teach bone grafting, soft tissue, that kind of stuff. And I've been doing that for a long period of time, but I've always woven into my lectures the human aspect of it, mm-hmm. and I could not. And the older I've gotten, you know, the more I feel that that's more important that I teach that. Because in 4 years in medical school, they don't give you 1 hour on human connectivity. They don't give you 1 hour on spirituality. They don't give you 1 hour of the importance of relating to another human being. They don't talk about what that person's like. And, you know, as you've probably counseled a lot of people at end of life, you know, and the doctor will come in and he'll say, hey, you know, you got 6 months to live. Or you got 4 months to live, or we're going to put you on chemotherapy. And they don't tell you what that's going to do to your life or to your family's life. Or all of a sudden you're sicker and, you know, you're going to live another 3 months, but they're going to be the worst months of your life. And, you know, 90% of what we spend in medicine is the last year of our lives. And it's a bad life for a lot of people. So that kind of conversation isn't never had. And so I started to work those in because I started to see my patients. It was like the walking wounded. They come into my office and they're hurt. They don't trust anybody. They have gotten care that's submarginal, perhaps. A lot of procedures, but they didn't tell what it was going to be like. They didn't talk about their responsibility.
Wow.
You know, I know you're into healthcare and you fit. You know, no one, you know, you go to see a cardiologist. You know, you have bypass surgery. But did they talk to you about your diet? They talk to you about mindfulness or I mean, how many fit people have, you know, cardiovascular surgery and they just sort of give it lip service.
Wow.
Talk about that. And I think it's really important that we give patients the responsibility to take care of their own health. I mean, that whether they do it or not, it's up to them. So I really think those are important concepts to treat and to teach. And
that's right.
And my residents, they don't get that. They just want to do big procedures, you know. They want to remove the pancreas. They want, you know, they want to remove the medication. They want to do the surgery. They want big bone graft procedure.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And then I think almost everybody has had that bad experience. I go in sometimes as a patient, but I don't let anybody know who I am. So I'm in my same town. I grew up in this town. I'm 400 yards from my high school. So people know me, but sometimes I'll go in sort of anonymous and I will go in and I don't want anyone to know that I'm a doctor in town, et cetera. And the care that I'm given is terrible. You know, I had an MRI, I had to go in a machine, it was dark. They didn't tell me about it. Now I'm not claustrophobic, but if I was, it would have been a very bad experience.
Oh my gosh. And I am. And I'll tell you what, that is not a good situation. But listen, you know, I'm impressed, man. I got to tell you, because I am your publisher, but you know our model. Our model is like, hey, we publish the book and it's your IP and you go out and you have the opportunity to either grow it or not grow it. And you get the risk and the reward. But
right.
I got to say, man, like your website and me looking around at this, I'm impressed, man. You got your weekly newsletter, you got your appearances, your speaking, your book, and you got your Sonic seminars. Why don't you walk us through a little bit about some of this? So,
Well, first of all, I want to give kudos to you. I mean, you know, what's my name on my website? You know, you became Carrie Oberbrenner, Dr. Carrie Oberbrenner, and I became Michael Sonic, you know, so, I talked about that. Most people don't know what I do. I joke around my patients about that. They come in, they have no idea when they come in, I'm going to have a conversation with them for an hour. I'm going to spend some time with them. Jeez. And I'm going to talk to them. And so I started to by working with you and other people like Heather and that I've worked with. They said, you know, sure. You got to get out there and get out there. So I started to follow some of the things that you've talked to me about and develop that robust website. And it's been sort of fun because I'm 70. I'll be 71 in April. Okay. So I'm 71 in April. And like, I feel like, you know, we both work with Dan Sullivan.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's going to be 80.
Yeah. So I don't know what your number is. I mean, for the, I'm 130. I'm going to live to 130. How about you?
So I am 126 because that puts me, you know, right at the right spot. So.
Well, good. Whatever that is, it's, you know, so, but by thinking like that now, so the hardest thing that I'm doing this year is becoming, getting out there. This is all new because I have a very successful private practice where it's, you know, it's, I'm booked 4 months in advance for people to see me.
Wow.
And I've been doing that for 40 years and I teach at the universities and I'm well known in my field, teaching surgery, which I still do teach and I still do courses and I still have, those are all on my site. But I decided at this point in time, I really want to teach something that nobody else is teaching. Which is, you know, there aren't any doctors out there talking about human connection, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people, even at Fountain, you know, Fountain of Youth or Fountain of Life, the Health Foundation that Peter's involved in. They're not, they don't talk about that. They talk about all the testing all the time. They're not talking about that human connectivity piece. And so there's a void. And so you can go onto my site and you can see we have books, we have online courses. I do consultations. I teach surgery. You can go to NYU and see me, but you know, I'm teaching one day a week somewhere doing something. And it's a lot of fun. And I don't know where I'm going to go with this. My next phase is to really connect with people in the hospitality industry because my models for this business of treating people, not patients, don't come from medicine and dentistry. You know, we're not taught that. Most dentists or most physicians are very much dot to dot linear thinkers. And they just want to do procedures, go home. In it. 6 o'clock comes around, they're done for the day. They don't want to do that, what needs to be done this next year. They don't always show up filled up. And unfortunately, 50% of all doctors would not do it again if they had an opportunity, which is sad because you don't want that person operating on you that looks at you as a procedure. So I think that's is sort of like my mantle right now. And I look at it, my responsibility to give back in the field and to teach the, and to teach these principles. So
it's so good.
That's what I'm planning on doing. And what I'd like to do is connect with some of the people in hospitality. One of my role models as mentors is Danny Meyer, who people will know because he founded Shake Shack, but he's the most successful restaurateur in New York City. You know, he did Union Square Cafe and Gramercy Tavern, and he started 11 Madison Park, which was the number one restaurant in the world a few years ago. He sold that to Will Gadara, who wrote a phenomenal book, if you haven't read it, Unreasonable Hospitality. And it's all about being the gift to the people that you serve. And a lot of the people in that industry has given me recommendations for the book, and they said, you know, we're serving a great meal, which is important. We're trying to give you a good experience. But what's more important? Isn't it real important when you're doing a surgery on an 18-year-old that has to last 60 or 70 years? That's sort of critical. Don't you want to be able to give that person a great experience?
Wow.
We found, and what the research has shown, is that when people have a good experience and they have less stress, they heal better. And when they heal better, you know, there's less stress for everybody. You have much better outcomes.
See.
And, you know, I talk to my patients, you know, the night of surgery, the next night, and a couple of days later, and just that simple phone call, you know, is makes a huge difference. I write everybody a 2 or 3 page letter after my initial visit, which nobody does.
Nobody does that.
Yeah. And it's a personal letter. It's not a form letter. It doesn't come from the computer. It's really old school, Carrie. You're going to laugh at me. I dictate it. And I have a typist that I went to high school with. I think I'm her only client left. She actually types these letters.
Really?
I mean, you don't have to do that anymore. You could do it with artificial intelligence, but I still pretty much go old school. And it's fun. I enjoy it. I really have writing this book and getting this done has been great. Now, as you know, my story with the book, I had another publisher.
Yeah.
And I paid them a lot of money to do it. And we did a lot. And they just couldn't get me to the finish line. Then when I found you, you know, online, we talked one day on one of our meetings and you took me there and you made it great. And I never, this book would never be where it is today without your guidance and tutelage.
Wow.
I mean, you got me there. and you know how to do this.
That's huge.
And you're really good at it. And you do show up filled up. You know, you invited me to your book conference.
Oh my gosh. And you spoke and you did so well. You know, I look and I see, like, folks, this is not a joke to get 95 reviews. I mean, this is awesome. And he's got the Kindle, the hardcover, the paperback, the audiobook. You had Dave Samuel.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's good. And so now it's out in all the versions.
Yeah. And we have our videos out now too. I had actually Michael Jackson's videographer did my videos. I hired him, but I hired some high-end videographer in New York City, and we spent 2 days shooting videos to do teaching. So these concepts I can teach. So if you want to bring these concepts into your organization, there's 10 modules. Each module is like 15, 20 minutes with a workbook. You can work your way right through it. And that's the course. Yeah. There's a course that you can take.
Really?
Yeah. And you can bring these principles in, because, you know, you can go listen to me. You can read my book, but you really want your whole team to be involved. And because I don't do that much, you know, I walk into my office and it's sort of run pretty smoothly for me right now based upon years. And one of the things that I was worried about is because I'm getting older. I have two partners. They'll eventually run the practice. I'll be doing other things. Is the practice still going to sustain itself with the same level of culture when I'm not there? Does culture exist? So I went to Will Gadara's restaurant, which is 11 Madison Park, which is it's a Michelin 3-star restaurant in Manhattan.
Jeez.
It's the only vegan one in the world. And I didn't realize that Will Gadara sold it a year and a half ago to his partner.
Okay. So
at age 26, he took over this restaurant. And by age 34, it was the number one restaurant in the world, which is very hard to do, of course. And it's amazing. So, but it was served, you know, high-end French type food, and now it's vegan. Yeah. I went there and I thought he'd be there, and I said, I'd like to see him and talk with him. And they go, no, he sold the restaurant. And I expected then, since he wasn't there and he was the responsible for culture, his book is called Unreasonable Hospitality, because they'll do anything possible to make it great. He wasn't there, but the people they trained were, and the experience was phenomenal.
Really?
I'm in the kitchen. They're making me a milkshake in the kitchen. They're giving me special gifts. They're writing me. The manager writes me back home. And we exchanged books together. And I said, wow, that culture still exists, even though he hasn't been in a year and a half. So then I went away on vacation. I went to Patagonia for 3 weeks with my wife. I hadn't taken 3 weeks off in 35 years. Mm. So I come back. I expected garbage, light bulbs to be out, you know, schedule not filled. It was like they hadn't missed a beat.
In my work,
it was still run really smoothly. And I told my team yesterday, because, you know, you have a team, it's really the team that sort of lifts you up.
Oh yeah.
But you guys are doing a phenomenal job. You guys got it. My younger partner, you know, he's got it now. My youngest partner, she's getting it. She's only been there a couple of years. It takes about a decade to sort of learn this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see that it actually can be even longer. Because we talk about, you know, Dan Sullivan always talks about Steve Jobs. There's only three years of Steve Jobs left on the shelf, and it's a different company. Well, it is. It's no longer a creative company. It's just the most successful company in the world today, even though Steve Jobs isn't there. It's a trillion-dollar company. So, you know, because I'm not only going to be around for a limited period of time. So if I can make that impact by teaching others, that's the cool part about it. That's what I love.
Yeah. That is cool. So is your vision to get into other industries too?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
exactly it. Yeah. My vision is to bring this. Well, first of all, this culture comes from other industries. My vision is to change the way healthcare is delivered. My true vision would be to connect with people like Danny Myers, Will Gadara, and others, and bring them into medicine, to go into the huge hospitals, and, you know, and to bring like a Four Seasons type experience. You know, when you go to a hospital, what kind of light do you have in there? Fluorescent lights, it's green. You check in, there's the glass screen. It's like an anti-sales campaign that they have. And you're trying to get better. You want to get better, and they're making you feel sick. You know, if you're sick, you don't want to go to a hospital. I mean, of course they can save you.
But there is that rumor out there. Yeah.
There is that rumor. Well, there's something called nosocomial infections, which basically more people get sick when you're in hospitals because you're around more diseased people. You know, you don't have a good experience. In my book, I share one experience I had in hospital, which was really positive. But my closest friend is chief of cardiology in the hospital. And I had to go in for a little cardiac procedure. I got phenomenal care because he and I are very close friends for 30 years. We work out twice a week together. And he's put this culture in his hospital, not because of my book, just because that's who he is. And that's what I'm close friends. Name is Dr. Stu Zarch. He's chief of cardiology at Yale and Bridgeport Hospital. And I got a phenomenal experience, but only in his department. Not every other department.
Wow.
So.
But see, you're the type of guy that I would highly go after if I had that issue. And it's exciting, man. Like you and I are going to be at Abundance 360 right here in a few weeks. Why do you go there? Like, because it seems like it's your people. Like what? Yeah. I've never been there live. So give me an education. What am I going to see?
Well, you're going to see a lot of entrepreneurs. I mean, it's a very, very, and a lot of entrepreneurs are into technology. So it's right up your alley. It is people that are doing some incredible things that want to impact a lot of people with what they're doing. And they're open and they're going to share. And it's like the people that you'll see, when you were at Coach, if I'm just kidding. But they're on steroids at Abundance.
Because of all the tech stuff. And
it is. Yeah, it's incredible. When I started going, this is my ninth year going.
Oh, my God.
And it's really not my people, you know, because I go in there, I say, I'm just a dentist, you know, because and I'm a dentist that's into culture. I'm not into as much technology, although I use a lot of it, but it's pretty heady for me to be able to be in a room with all of these people that are making such a huge difference. And somebody a few years ago, I met the guy who is the largest robotics guy in the world. You know, he's got robotics all over the world. I get to meet the guy who's the best at quantum mechanics and quantum physics that's there. You know, I've got to meet like David Sinclair, you know. Who?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
This year, we're on the cutting edge of, you know, AI.
AI and stuff.
AI this year. AI and longevity this year. I started and it was all about technology, sensors, augmented reality, virtual reality.
Yeah.
Very little on longevity. It was about electronics and quantum computing. And now it's just at a whole
longevity. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Wow.
It's an interesting room to be in out there. And Peter Diamandis, you know, who thankfully he gave me a blurb for my book, which was really nice of him. He is
next level.
Well, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he does not stop.
Yeah.
And he's an unbelievable connector.
Yeah.
So when I first met him, he was, you know, he had all these ideas, same guy, but he learned about human connectivity. I mean, he went from being a guy that was probably worth about $10 million when I met him 9-10 years ago. I don't know what he's worth now, you know, probably 500, 600, 700 million, because he's in 20 different companies and he's just amazing. And he shares selflessly, you know, constantly gives and gives and gives. I can't believe how much material I can't even keep up reading his emails, much less writing as much as his emails.
Yeah.
And that's just the ones that I receive. He's in all these other countries too. And people are nice. I met some nice people out there. It's always fun. I always get pretty excited when I go. And being in my field as a dentist, it's like I have access to a whole different level because the average dentist is really not interested in what I have to say. They just want to go in there and make a living. You know, I call them. You know, Dan Sullivan talks about four different types of people. He talks about the transformational ones.
Yeah.
Then he talks about the conventional success. Then he talks about the ones, the wannabes, and then the people that are really struggling at the bottom. Mm. And most of the people that I end up dealing with in my life are the people who are conventional success.
Okay.
They make a good living.
Yeah.
You know, they're member to, I call them, I changed the names for them. I call them the country clubbers. They're member of the country club, which I'm not a member of. And they just want to keep their football, you know, they want to keep their piece of the pie. They're not thinking about sharing it.
Wow.
In Abundance, you got people that are, they could be conventionally successful. They're into sharing. And by sharing, you know, cause you're a member of Coach, you know, and you just really, you know, you're not only 10 exit, you're 100 exit, but that's not my goal is to make a lot of money. I mean, you know, how much do you need? I have enough. And my goal is really to stay this excited about the future. That's what I like. That's why I like talking to you. You have that.
I mean, you're whatever you said you were, 71 or whatever you're going to be, but man, you're more on fire than 21 year olds.
sometimes for some 21-year-olds, there's a lot of depression out there, a lot of sadness because because I'm doing what I love to do, you know, because I have the freedom to do what I love to do and just put all my energy into that. I pretty much don't do a lot what I don't like anymore. I mean, there's still things I have to do I don't like. But it's I pretty much try to stay in that area where I'm doing what I love. You know, like talking to you, I'm totally energized now.
Oh my gosh.
I like this. I like this.
It's so good. It's so good. I'll close with a couple thoughts here.
Okay.
So I just got back from Palm Beach. I brought my son to the Free Zone Summit. He's 18. He was the youngest guy in the room. And he said, "Dad, I learned more in these 2 days than I have in all of high school." He's like, I'm so on fire. He went around, Michael, and he literally asked people, "What would you tell your 18-year-old self?" And then he would write it down.
That's very.
And I'll tell you what, everyone treated him so nice and gave him attention. And I said, "Listen, man, if I was 18 and in this room, I would have gone, you know, so much further." I mean, it's so cool that these days, like any 18-year-old can pick up your book and get like, you know, just a treasure trove of content that they wouldn't get in the school system.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the school system is failing us in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. But you're teaching and I'm teaching and we're making a difference, but
you're a professor now, aren't you?
I am teaching entrepreneurship, but I want to lead people back here as we close, folks. Michael Sonic.
Well, thank you.
The course, the newsletter. I mean, his newsletter is blowing up, over 40,000 subscribers. He's doing it right, folks. He's reinventing himself at 71. What are you doing? I mean, come on now. This is inspiring for all of us. So thank you, Dr. Michael Sonic, for all your wisdom today.
Well, thank you, Carrie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.